YMCA, like, that's an insubordination deal. I'm not sure. I don't know if anything comes of it, but I think that's something to keep an eye on. Am I off base here?
I'm not so sure that I believe it to that extent, though I don't think it would take much for Lane Kiffin to just suggest, hey, courts are kind of deciding what happens, and you just need to understand that that's how college football is working right now. Because, you know, from a selfish point of view, I'm sure Lane, if Trinidad wasn't going to come to LSU like he originally wanted, he probably would have preferred Trinidad not be eligible at all from a selfish standpoint. And so maybe that's part of his thinking with that. You know, I watched some of the clips from Todd Monken with the Browns, and he was got himself in a little bit of, I guess, hot water, nothing crazy, but he had made an offhand comment that Lane Kiffin had reached out to him about Daquan Wright, and then he had to backtrack and say, well, it wasn't me directly, it was us as a coaching staff, and I don't even know if it was Lane Kiffin, it was just a text message asking about something with him, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, like, this is all the back-end communications that happens in college, and Monken knows exactly what that looks like from his time at Georgia. Lane Kiffin knows exactly what that is, and it's just like these text messages that fly around that you put an idea in someone's brain, and if you decide to do this, then this is going to happen. But the fact that it crosses up to the NFL, that's the unique part, and I could tell that Monken was frustrated that he was having to talk about that 2 weeks before a season started.
What does it say about LSU? Do you think LSU really voted against it, or they had to come out of 16-0? What does it say about Lane and maybe his relationship with the president and what they were thinking there?
I think that LSU / Lane decided they couldn't be on an island alone in that situation, that would look far worse in the PR game. Right, because if it was going to be a 15-0 the other way, and I'm not so sure that it would have been, but I don't think this was half of the league split on it. I think it was going to be a pretty firm, this is not going to happen, so you might as well get united and move on. And I think, you know, you got to pick your battles here. Again, if this is Trinidad Chambliss, I wouldn't be surprised if Lane fights harder. Yeah. But, you know, you're looking at a good tight end, but this is not Brock Bowers either. And so I think this happens in college all the time, is how far are you willing to fight for based on the talent of the player.
All right, final one for you. What does it say? What are your thoughts about Sankey, the relationship with Lane, anything long-term? This one, could this be something to keep an eye on or not?
I don't think long-term. I think Sankey has bigger structural problems that he has to deal with. Now, Lane probably pushes the boundaries and buttons on that, but ultimately Lane brings eyeballs to the SEC and is one of the more intriguing coaches. And look, for a decade now, he's some really good offenses that both get players in the NFL and draw eyeballs to college football. So in that sense, I think Sankey loves Lane Kiffin and the PR stuff that happens around him that draws kind of off-the-field interest. Man, that's half of the game right now. How do you keep people interested when the games aren't happening? And that's crazy that we have to think about that in college football, but the NFL and the NBA are showing the way of how to do that. And college football, we're caring as much about the transaction as we are the action at this point.
When we visit next week, I'm so excited for this. Can we talk about Georgia's preseason, their two preseason games, including Tennessee State opener next week?
I love that you call them the preseason games. And I don't know that Western Kentucky is a full-on preseason game. I think that can be a week one. Mm. Tennessee State is by far a preseason. Western Kentucky's okay.
Okay. All right.
I said okay. Okay. I'm trying, man. Right. I'm trying.
I like it. Tell the girls hello, man. I always enjoy it. Can't wait to talk actual games when we visit next week.
Sounds good, Mickey. Thank you.
Dane Young, UGASports.com, who made it through power outage. We're okay. Everything's back up. That's good. That didn't last long. That was good. We'll come back. The LIV Tour is in the news. The PGA Tour's got new format, including playoffs to end their season in 28. The PGA Tour is making a lot of news. We'll ask Andrew Oliphant about it next.
Got a busy life and missed your favorite show? The best sports talk plays on your schedule.
Yeah, baby.
All shows are online on the podcast page
and ready to play when you want.
This is awesome.
Download the Roar app or visit theroarfm.com.
I know you'll be headed to Tiger Sports at tigersports.com. I know you're going to either location. You're going to go into the it may be the College Avenue location. It may be the Tiger Boulevard location. I don't know, but you go to one, and I know right now you go online and find out what Tiger Sports is doing. If you do, you'll find out right now. Let's go. Countdown to LSU, 10 days, 11 hours, 7 minutes and 1 second. to Clemson and LSU. Hey, check out everything online first. You can do the game day apparel. You can do the Lululemon apparel. You can see all their collections. You can see all the men's polos and all the hats and the vintage stuff that that Ashby and I both love, all the vintage stuff. And get ready for the football season. See the new Nike stuff as well. You'll love it. It's Tiger Sports, over 50 years of doing it right. Two great locations or online 24/7. It's tigersports.com.
Forget the national noise. We are Real Talk for real fans. 105.5 and 97.5.
Tour is going to conclude its season with match play. It's going to come down to two different weeks and two different golf courses. What's your initial reaction to Brian Rollup announcing match play to end the season in 28?
Yeah, I like it. I think that, you know, there's not enough match play. I know they used to have the World Match Play event, and if there's a downside to it, the players get eliminated. So sometimes if you're watching only two players on television, there's a lot of commercial time in between, so they'll have to maybe come up with a way of having it like a round robin where there's several matches playing, maybe a point system. I don't know how the exact format, but I like match play. I think it's feeding off, you know, things like the President's Cup, Ryder Cup, and so on.
Second thing that came up, the new commissioner, Brian Rollup, announces that there's no current plan to bring back the returning member program, which was a potential pathway for Bryson DeChambeau and John Rahm and Cameron Smith and others to return from LIV. And it is not a, we're calling it, it's not a, there's nothing planned for how those guys get back. Does that surprise you? Or does he know that, not know that? It's going to be different for each guy. But he says, quote, no current plans for the remaining member program that we saw earlier this year when we saw Brooks Koepka and you know, other guys, you know, able to come back. So it surprised you a little bit that door looks like it's not as open or maybe don't have a plan for that?
Yeah, I think it's got to be case by case. We spoke about this last week and, you know, how guys do come back from the LIV events and play on the PGA Tour. Some have paid their fines. Some have been a little bit more outspoken on the LIV side than others. So I do think it's case by case. But I'm surprised they've sort of said there's no pathway as of now or no plan, you know, no membership program. There's been a few comments this week where I think even Rory was saying, well, did they, you know, did those players make the LIV Tour any good? You know, it was like, ouch, you know, I mean, yeah. You know, that's harsh. You know, I mean, I've spoken about this and said I like the events like the Masters or the U.S. Open where those LIV guys are in the field. I think it's a little bit refreshing that you've got Bryson, John Rahm, you know, Tyrrell Hatton, some of the characters of the game, if you will, playing. So I'm still a fan of getting those guys back. You know, the retirees, I don't know where they're going to go. You know, the Lee Westwood, the Poulters, who maybe don't fit the PGA Tour model anymore. You know, whether that's a seniors role for them. But that's another story where those guys are going to go.
Have you kept up with the good golf controversy from last night?
I've seen it, yeah. And then a little bit strange that they changed the viewing of the Big Break show, you know, with Callaway, I guess, taking a stance on this. So we'll see how that plays out.
Who in their right mind thought it was a good idea for a man to tackle a woman on an ad? Like, that's just, I don't know. How could you get to that point?
Like, it was a little surprising, right? I mean, that's the opening scene, I believe, where he comes along and drops her to the ground, and then the rest of it's I don't know, some kind of weird horror movie, sci-fi type weird deal. But someone in marketing's had a bad day at the office.
They don't have an office to go to today, I'm sure. Through that, what do I need to know? The Tour Championships coming up at East Lake starting tomorrow. And Wyndham Clarkson, and obviously McIlroy and Cantlay, and Jacob Bridgman, and obviously Scottie Scheffler, who was sick last week, hand, foot, and mouth through all that. But some storylines. What's at stake now?
Well, we've only got, 30 players going there, so limited field. You know, it is their sort of final event. We're going to We're going to have a FedEx Cup champion. We're going to have a Tour Championship winner. So I think, you know, players, the cream always rises to the top. And each year when it comes along at Eastlake, I think, oh, you know, it's only a couple of hours. Let's drive over there and go and watch it. And then the other side of me is like, well, I can see more on TV. And there's only 30 players in the field, so it's going to be a challenge to sort of move around the golf course. But you're watching 30 of the players that are the best players in the world, and they're in form. So, you know, it's going to be some good golf, you know, as always on the PGA Tour. And I think we're going to see, you know, probably no surprises, if you like. You know, it's going to be a Scheffler or a McIlroy rising to the top there. You know, Wyndham Clark's been playing great too.
Do you like that format that we went back to, or did you like that where the leader was 10 under and then the next guy was 9 and 8 and 7? Remember all that a couple of years ago? Which do you prefer? Yeah.
All the confusing stuff. No, you asked me a few years ago about that. I'm like, shoot, I don't know. I mean, just, you know, go out and play your best golf. I like everybody starting at zero, at the even par on the first tee, and then going from there, the whole 10-stroke advantage. Or I played well last week, so I've got a shot on you. That was too much for me. You know, it was, I couldn't quite follow that.
We have Solheim Cup coming up. Teams being announced and all that. This is it's in the Netherlands, by the way. I know we've had a lot of Ryder Cups and all that and a lot of places. But I'm gonna make a surprising statement. Some I watch the Solheim Cup every other year. I mean, every time it's on, I watch the Solheim Cup. I think the Solheim Cup is the best of women's professional golf. Thoughts on that? The cup. I mean, the competition itself, and maybe on what we might see in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, being in the Netherlands, the timing for us watching it on television is going to be, super early in the morning. So, you know, TV time might interrupt and not get as much coverage as it should. I looked at the U.S. team and, you know, the ladies can play. You know, you get the top 30 to 60 players on the LPGA Tour. They are flat out good players now. I think that you roll back 30, 40 years ago, then that maybe wasn't so much the case. You'd get 10 superstars on the LPGA, and along came the Korean contingent, and I think that raised the level of the LPGA. You know, whether they like that or not, that's true. And now those girls can play. So, like you say, a lot of male golfers watching Solheim or watching LPGA should actually relate to their game a little bit. You know, from distance they hit the ball to club head speed. But these girls don't hit it offline. You know, they hit it straight. They'll hit a hybrid in there to 5-6 feet, and they'll roll the putt in, and that's how they play.
It's 11-4. I see what I'm saying. It's 11-7-1 right now in the United States side, but Europe has won or retained the Solheim Cup in 5 of the last 8 events. Is this I look at that like this is a little bit like the Ryder Cup. Like it became much better when Europe decided to compete a little bit and win some. Like you need a rival. You need for both teams to be competitive. It was not competitive for a while. Am I right by saying this is a little bit like the Ryder Cup in that the Europeans' almost dominance has meant so much more to the event growing?
Yeah, I think it's in depth. You know, just you look at the European team, may look at that and think, well, who are these players? You know, some of the American team might look at that and think, who are these players? You know, I mean, just in depth that the players now are so much better. You know, so I don't see one side being more dominant than the other. You know, most of the good European players are playing on the LPGA circuit anyway. You know, I mean, I'll put TV on from time to time, and it's the, you know, ladies European tour, and I struggle to know who those players are. I'm going to be honest, right? I'm looking at them and say, well, yeah. Who's this girl? I wouldn't be able to pick them out. But the ones that are playing over here on the LPGA in America, they can flat out play.
No doubt about that. All right. I'm going to leave you with this. 9410 gets in this morning and said, Mickey, I watched a major golf retailer pulling good merch off the shelves last night. It might not be. It might be bad from now on. We'll have to see. How can folks reach you? Yeah. What do they need to know about improving the golf game in every area you can do it by getting in touch with you?
Yeah, the best way is andrew@katichi.com. And I've got some great programs, some beginner programs starting soon. So if you're looking to get into group classes, aim point classes, which is the green reading system that we use here, and something that you'll see if you're avid watching golf from television and you think, what are these players doing when they're sensing the ground? That's aim point, and something I'm a big proponent of. So lots going on, and finally the weather feels a little bit better too, and certainly in the mornings and sort of early evening times we get a little bit of a cooler break from things, so it's been nice out there.
No doubt. Feels awesome. Let's get out and do it. Always enjoy it, my friend. Looking forward to visiting with you. Let's review the FedEx Cup points. Some FedEx Cup when we visit next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks again, Mickey.
Thank you. Andrew Oliphant, Director of Instruction down at Katichi. Texture said, good needs to be gone. Short break. We'll come back. Final segments of a Wednesday show right after this.
The Roar's College Football Kickoff Show is back. Join host Scott Reimer and all your Roar favorites at the Southern Weaving Food Hall, August 27th from 5 to 8 p.m. Join us at 210 Firm Street right here in Easley. The Roar, the Upstate Sports Authority.
Our friends at Schneider Tree Care do an amazing job with your shrubs and your trees. Now is the time to think about pest control or fall applicants, nutrition type stuff for your trees and the applications of that, or, the pesticide type stuff, or they do a terrific job of that. Let's get ready. When I talk to Eric about fall and fall applications, it's getting ready for the wintertime and getting ready for that tree to go into a little bit of a dormancy type stage or whatever with the weather. Let's get that taken care of in advance. Mitigation for storm damages in wintertime as well. And hurricane season right around the corner. Let's get them off of roof lines. Get them off of power lines. Let's think about our great friends. Even emergency services in case you don't do it in advance. Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care, 833-4-MY-TREE, the most experienced team out there that you love working with is SnyderTreeCare.com.
No scripts.
No spin.
Yeah.
Just the truth.
105.5 and 97.5.
The Roar.
Where every day is game day.
Around here, it's built by the hands of good people. I'm Wesley Harbin, fourth generation.
I think that last segment covered enough of the PGA Tour and the new format for 28 with match play. That's going to be really cool. And the FedEx Cup starting tomorrow. And I think we covered the good golf enough.
Bad.
Bad. I always do this at games where my team in baseball, somebody takes a close pitch, and on ball one, I don't know why I do this, but Drake makes fun of me for doing it. On ball one, I'll go, "Good up!" And then when someone on ball two, I always say, and I do it for ball three or ball four, I don't do it for three or four, but ball two, I always say, "Good up, good up!" And sometimes I influence the ump. Like, before he calls it a strike.
Because you're so vocal about
I'm so vocal and so quick. Like, I anticipate that it's going to be, like, just on the outside, just outside the outside corner. And I say, "Get up!"
It's an assist.
And he calls a strike. I'm like, "Oh, no! Oh, wait a minute! What? Come on,
check his pockets!
Get up, get up!"
We had a parent on my middle school basketball team. It was a mom. That was her go-to ref slander.
Check his pockets?
Check his pockets! Mind you, we're playing in, like, Pelham Middle School. It's like a 15-year-old kid that's reffing our games. Mm. Check his pockets.
Yeah, like he's making $7.50 an hour.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He's barely going to have money to buy a sandwich after this game.
Gas money.
He's got a little girlfriend. Walking around money.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good, though. What are your favorite baseball-isms to say?
To umps?
Just like when you're watching it, the cliche baseball things. Good eyes, great.
Yeah. Good eye. I always say either a number or like when Purify comes up. I heard someone else say it, so I always use it now. Let's go, Detroit.
That's good. That's really good.
Because some people say, JP. What number is JP? I don't know what number he is. I should know what number he is. But, I call a guy a number. Or guys, we're at number 17. Let's go 1-7.
That's good.
You like that one?
That's good. I like saying a pitcher's dealing.
Dealing?
He's dealing.
Yeah.
He's stealing.
He's filthy. He's got his cheese.
He's battling. That's another good one. That's another one.
Oh, I do that one.
He's battling.
When a guy fouls off a couple of 3-2 counts, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Fight him. Fight him.
Win this one.
Fight him.
Win this one.
Yeah. My favorite with umpires, though, is, and we started this back when we were American Legion team and we watched Colt League baseball or Pony League baseball. We go to games, you know, around the park, whatever. After practice, they have a game, whatever. And the ump's, you know, the ump's not supposed to listen to anybody in the stands, right?
Right.
And we would fake like there's a ball loose in the bullpen that came on the field. Just to get his attention. It was like, ump, ball loose in the bullpen. He'd go, time, we got rabbit ears. No ball loose. What a punk
savage.
I was.
Savage.
Punk.
I think I would.
Rabbit ears.
I'd throw you out so fast.
Yeah. My buddy Wallace said, Drake's must have a dad with so much creativity. I do this sometimes.
Ball in the bullpen.
I always do this. When any time an umpire does like a very demonstrative strike three call.
Yours is really good.
Yeah. Mine is good. Yeah, of course it wasn't. But like they'll show the guy up like, you know, like really ring him up. You know, something like that. And like really get demonstrative about it. I always say, oh, there you go. We're here to watch you, buddy. You're the entertainer. Everything's about you. Has nothing to do with the players on the field. We came here to watch you show your stuff tonight. Or if at first base the play is close and the guy rings him up over at first, I'm like, man, don't throw your right shoulder out of socket, pal. Easy on the old rotator cuff over there.
Give it a
rest. Yeah.
Rotator cuff is screaming.
We all came out to watch you umpire tonight. You're the center of attention. You did it, buddy.
I think it all has to do with the amount of windup to either of those things.
Yeah.
Like if it's a period where you know what he's going to do, but he makes you wait on him. Like, come on.
Yes. Well, you know, we did that off the air. We talked about where the guy might have on the tag and the umpire at second base wants to make sure he still has the ball. He's like, show it to me. He's pointing at him. Show it to me. Show it to me. Show it. Yeah, I got it. You know, show it to me.
Baseball's so funny.
Did you see the news in college baseball?
That was going to be my two-minute drill.
Okay, never mind. Let me get to Red Pratt, injury lawyer, phone lines. Good morning, Red. Thanks for hanging on, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, Mickey. How you doing?
Blessed. Very blessed.
Hey, so on the baseball, the umpire, my mom's favorite, when our team was up to bat and the umpire called a strike, her favorite saying was, you suck.
Well, yeah.
But, right to the point.
But
so let me ask you this. So,
pitchers,
yeah,
the go pitchers, ahead. Oh, go ahead.
No. I want to say it's like, so.
Our pitchers pitching.
Uh-huh.
Our pitchers pitching, throwing the same strike, and it's a strike the same way it was on Earth. She said, good call. You're great.
The very next time, the very next pitch, he might be great.
Yeah.
I love it, man.
You're great.
I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Everything good?
My mom was a baseball fan. Oh, man. Mickey, you know how the ups and downs of this, what we do with Sunday dinner. You know, you're watching people out there that have given up on life, and there's not much you can do other than feed them and love on them. And then you get the one, Mickey, where you watch the young lady leave the woods. She went to prison. She got out, got in with this thing called CORN. It's a re-entry program for people that get out of prison. And yesterday, she got her keys for her new apartment.
How about that?
And, that's, I mean, dope. Come on, man. And she asked me to put up everything before and after, right, and write a story about her story. And the apartment is completely empty. We've already gotten the whole apartment filled up with
stuff. Oh, let's go.
Hey, come get this. Come get that. So it's just, you know, it's hard on some days, and it is real good on other days.
Can I give you one piece of advice?
I'll say these. Uh-huh.
celebrate the smallest victory, man, because you get beat down so much out there. There's so many things that can you can focus on. But when those little tiny, even the small, that's a huge victory, but the small ones.
Yeah.
You just got to celebrate them. You got to say, that's an impact. You made a difference, you know? Great stuff, Rick.
Yeah.
Great stuff, buddy.
Yeah. So we're going to try to get her a washing machine and dryer next, because she found out she can have a washing machine and dryer in her apartment. So that's the last thing we're going to try to do now.
All right, let's do this right quick then. All right. Sunday did it with thetwist.org. Can I give out your phone number now?
Yes, sir.
864-380-5336. I've got it here. I can do it. Somebody buy a washer and dryer. Like, this, in honor of Dolly Parton. Like, let's just do something good today. All right? Text me for Red's number on our Addis Grove text line. I'll do it. And give him the money. Or let's just get a washer and dryer today. Let's do it. Red, at some point in time this morning, I'm going to text you somebody's number who's going to get in touch with me, and we'll have a washer and dryer.
Okay.
All right?
Well,
let's do it.
That'd be awesome.
It's going to be awesome.
Thank you so much.
No, thank these listeners. All right, brother. I'll be texting you later. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow night, too. Let's do that. Let's make that a goal between now and tomorrow night. All right? At Red's coming over. Between now and tomorrow night. Remind me this tomorrow, Ashby. Let's get a – not now. Let's get now. Somebody text in and say, I want to buy a washer and a dryer for this lady. Let's get off to a good start. 654 Roar. Love that. In honor of Dolly. Do it for Dolly. Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. Good answer, Brad Hughes. 292-3001. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com. Brad Hughes Insurance.com. Better coverage, better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and the Allstate Insurance Agency. I know better coverage and better rates. Thanks to Brad Hughes and that great Allstate Insurance Agency. Best music of the day. What do you have for me?
Stairway to Heaven. Dolly Edition.
Yes, you did it.
My girl.
You did it.